Me and Elizabeth were fortunate enough just to get some things paid off, and it was timely because my rusty old pickup truck wasn't looking too good. I went to do something quick on the exhaust the other day and had an armful of oil by the time I was done with it. So leaking oil and getting a hole in the bottom, and Jim Slater from Second Service inspecting my truck, shaking his head at me. So just in that time, I saw a Jeep for sale. And if you're like me, that's not, hey, there's a Jeep for sale. That's, honey, there's a Jeep for sale. So we went ahead and I talked to my brother about it, who he's had several Jeeps. He's really not knowledgeable about them. And he said, wow, that looks like a really good deal and everything. And the doors just opened up for us. So we went and bought this Jeep. And test drove it around, smooth as could be. Talked to the guys, great condition, new parts, everything. Drive it home. Come on, Elizabeth, Lydia, my little one, let's jump in and go for a ride. Doesn't start. And so my face has turned 10 shades of red. And so I'm out there trying to start it, and getting frustrated. You know, and while I'm probably saying some other things, Lydia's in her car seat in the back going, Jesus' name, amen! Jesus' name, amen! And so I'm like, that's right. Well, this isn't working. God's got something else in mind, I guess. So we pack up and went to my brother's house to hang out for a bit. And in the meantime, he said, well, maybe I just need some fresh gas. It's been sitting for a while. So he gives me his jug, and I go down to Sheets and fill it up and put a couple gallons in my Jeep. Starts right up. So I'm like, that's great. So what do? I get out to get the gas can off the street, shut the door behind me, and my keys and my cell phone are locked in my running Jeep on 10th Street. So I'm like, I'm having one of these days. And I was at the point of losing it, and thought to myself, I can either start screaming and have all the neighbors look at me right now, or I can do what James talked about, and anger does not bring about a righteous life that God desires. Calm down. And so I went to Advanced Auto Parts, and pleaded with them, walked down to where they're at, they're close by, and I just told them my sad story. I said, do you have anything that I can get into my car with? I don't even have my phone to call my wife or to call anybody. And luckily, a guy there who's now my hero had a piece of wood and a bent hot dog stick and gave it to me to get into my truck and get the window down, or my Jeep. And so I went, picked up my wife, victorious, celebrated by the dollar menu at Wendy's, came back, put my clothes on for work, doesn't start. Now, the first thing that came to my mind is, what are we talking about at church on Sunday? Persevering in the faith. God, I know you're up to this. So that's what we're talking about today, persevering in the faith. We're going to be talking out of a few books in the Bible, mainly out of James chapter 1, taking a look at Zechariah and some stories from Acts. And how many of you guys, I know maybe especially the guys here, might be a history nerd like me, like the History Channel. I'm a big history buff. All right, I got one person with me back there. And a while back, I was searching on the internet on the History Channel and trying to see what shows were on there that I could watch. And I came across the greatest show ever. It was called Full Metal Jousting. And it's these guys who are trying to reenact medieval jousting, you know, where they get on the horse with the lance and charge down and just smash each other. So who doesn't like that, right? So I start watching this, and I'm thinking, this is a great show. And what's even greater is my wife liked it and watched it with me. So we're watching this, and these guys are just putting on full suits of armor and getting on their horse with these big wooden lances, and just charging down at each other and just blasting each other off their horses. And they said getting hit with one of those lances is like being in a car wreck. It hurts that bad. And the one guy said, you know, jousting is really the only sport where there's no defense. It's all offense. You get hit time after time after time again. Just about every time you go down that lane, you get hit. And when he said that, I thought, you know what? That kind of sounds like life. Getting hit time after time after time again. Getting hit and getting knocked off our horse and thrown into the mud. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of James. We'll be looking at chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about how do we get back up on that horse for another pass. The book of James was written by James, the brother of Jesus. He was a leader on the Christian council along with the apostles. And James was writing to Christians who had recently been scattered by persecution, and they're fleeing all over the country. And he was writing them, telling them and encouraging them how to persevere in the faith through their trials and how to live morally and a good life through it. And the people he's writing to we find in the book of Acts. Early in the early chapter of Acts, we see that Christ has risen from the dead and ascended to heaven. And the Holy Spirit's come on the apostles, and God has established the church. The church had been growing in numbers daily. Just a beautiful community was happening where people were sharing their possessions. People were selling their property and giving to the poor. Nobody had a need. It was this beautiful community, and it said that God was growing their numbers daily. It was growing and active. So it was really a time of blessing, but then the Bible tells us the hammer fell on them. Persecution began, and the people began to spread. It talks about a man named Stephen, who the Bible says was a man full of faith, preaching the word of God, and an angry mob came after him and stoned him to death, and it caused everyone to flee. And James writes to these people, starting in verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Let perseverance finish its work so that you will be mature and complete. So let's kind of dive into that. We're going to pick it apart this morning and look at some things and try to get a better understanding of perseverance through the faith. Paul, in Acts chapter 14, is preaching the gospel. And again, another one of those angry mobs come after him and angry for the things he's saying and angry for the people that he's converting from religious Judaism over to Christianity. And so this mob of people take him outside of the city, and they stone him. And they just then throw pebbles at him. Typically when you see somebody get stoned in the Bible, I mean, it's with big honking rocks that they would slam these people with. These big rocks, imagine getting hit with something like this over and over again. And this is what Paul endured. They beat him so badly with these rocks that they thought he was dead. So we see Paul just face down in the mud, and the body of believers gather around him, and he gets back up, gets on his feet, and marches back into that city to preach the word of God. And I can only imagine that in my head, taking that kind of beating. Instead of saying, taking the week off, gonna go get some R&R, he gets back up and says, I have something to do. I have somebody to serve, and that's Christ Jesus, and marches back into that city. So we might not literally get beaten with stones in our lifetime. Maybe we will. But typically, that's not going to happen to any of us. But the stones that we can get hit with are about, we get stoned with financial bondage, and it hits us. Or we get stoned with the loss of a loved one, and having to grieve and deal with that. Or perhaps we get a rock thrown at us about addictions and bad habits, and we get hit with that. Or maybe we lose a loved one, have broken relationships, and we get hit with that. Or maybe you buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and it doesn't start for you when you gotta go to work. And you get hit with that. And it was St. Augustine of Hippo who said, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is not that only good things happen to believers and bad things happen to non-believers, because they happen to both of us in this broken world. He said, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is this: how does a believer react in the midst of tragedy? Do they give up hope? Do they walk out on God in their faith? Or do they trust God that He truly does work the good through all things? Do they trust God and get back up like Paul did and march in that city? And when I did my training at UPMC Hospital, they're trying to show us the importance of communication within the hospital and between staff. And they showed us this video of a mother speaking at a conference. Definitely one of those videos that sticks in your brain probably for the rest of my life. It was about a woman who lived down in Texas and who brought her 2-year-old daughter into the hospital for treatment. And the doctors brought her in, diagnosed her, and admitted her. And because of the poor communication in the hospital, people not looking at charts, people not looking at her wristband, people not following the doctor's orders, her daughter began to get sicker and sicker from the things that they were doing to her. And eventually, her 2-year-old daughter passed away in the hospital because of the lack of communication from hospital staff. On this video, the mother is speaking about this to a conference full of doctors. In her tears and in her anger, she's speaking of this and says for the first year after that, her husband and her just, she said, were rotting from the inside out. That they just sat home in anger and in sorrow and really did not know where to go the rest of their lives. And she said until she heard a quote one day that said, in anger, you can do two things. You can let it destroy you, or you can make the world better through it. And that woman and her husband went back to the very same hospital that her daughter was killed in and began to set up programs to promote better communication with hospital staff. And so the same thing will not happen to somebody else. And this woman now travels all across the United States, working with hospitals and working with doctors and trustees of hospitals to set up better programs in hospitals so that the same thing doesn't happen. And it's through this that she's persevering through her trial and making really the hospital system a better place. And what a perfect illustration of what Paul did, of what James talks about, and what St. Augustine said. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is a believer truly trusts God that He does work all things for the good. And they get up and in their tragedy, trust Him and follow Him, working for the good. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So how does persevering in the midst of trial bring maturity and completeness? Part of persevering in your faith really is the decision to do so. And whether we really make that decision or not, consciously, we make it every day that we wake up. We make a decision to follow Christ. In the midst of trials, we learn how to stubbornly hang on to Him, no matter what happens. I recently went to the movies and watched it's called Wrath of the Titans. I was reading through the book of Acts at the time and reading about Paul going to all these Greek cities, Ephesus and Philippi, and saw this movie coming out of the Greek world about Greek gods and everything. I thought, well, maybe if I go see that movie, you know, they'll have Ephesus rebuilt for me, and I'll be able to see what it looked like and everything. They didn't. Still a good movie, though. But during that movie, something that really inspired me in my faith was the main hero was fighting this big battle, and the main hero was just a normal guy, was going up against one of the Greek gods. So he knew, no way I'm going to win this fight. But he just knew it's the right thing. I got to go. And so he's going, goes to fight this guy. He's getting his butt kicked all over the place, just getting the tar kicked out of him, and thrown in the mud here, thrown in the mud there. And just about when the fight's over, the bad guy, this Greek god, brings in the main character's son, his like 12-year-old son, and says, here, you can watch me beat up your dad. See who's the stronger guy here. But it backfired on him. Because while the main character, the boy's dad, is laying there with his face in the mud, he sees his son, and he remembers, that's why I'm fighting. And he gets back up. Gets the tar kicked out of him again. Looks at his son, gets back up. Over and over again, gets knocked down, looks at his son in the back corner, and says, that's why I'm fighting this battle, and gets back up. And eventually, he wins. What an example to us that when we've gotten knocked off the horse, we get back up by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We get back up by keeping our eyes on the hope that God has for us. We keep our eyes on the fact that even though we're going through trials in this life, that one day we'll be in a place where there are no more trials, where truly only good things happen to good people, when we're in glory with God. But for now, we learn the lessons of perseverance by keeping our eyes on Christ and getting back up time and time again. And during that Full Metal Jousting show, one of the guys was going in the competition, and very first pass down, gets knocked right off his horse, just blasted right off. And everybody's running to help him, and they're like, oh my gosh, is this guy okay? Because he just took a beating. And they run, and they open up his visor on his helmet, and he's there smiling. And he says, you know what? Now that I know I can take the hit, I'll get back up and do it again. And so that's really how our faith becomes mature in the midst of trials. It's because when we trust God and he walks us through one thing, the next time we get hit by another rock, we can say, you know what? I took that hit before and God got me through it. So I'm going to take that hit again and God's going to get me through it this time. And you know what? And tomorrow and the next day. And our faith continues to build and continues to become mature and complete. The book of Zechariah shows us that this is really God's desire for us, to persevere, to get back up, to keep fighting. The history behind Zechariah is that the Jewish people had been taken over by the Babylonians. The people had been sent into exile. Their cities and their temple were defeated. They were destroyed in ruins and rubble. Well, not just one person, the whole nation had been knocked off their horse. And years later, after years of exile, God used Cyrus the Great to come down to take over Babylon and to set the Jewish people free. And Cyrus the Great gave them permission. He said, go home and build your temple, rebuild your cities, rebuild your place of worship. And so the Jewish people, with much zeal and much joy, went home. And they rebuilt the foundation of the temple. And just then, what happens? More persecution comes. The surrounding nations get threatened by the rebuilding of the temple, and they come and they ransack the Jews again. And the Jews are in exile for 20 more years, and then set free again. And they have the opportunity, they already have the foundation built on the temple, they have the opportunity to finish it, to have their place of worship back. But this time around, it's, what's the sense? What's the point? I'm just going to go through persecution again, probably. And they stop building the temple of God. But God sends Zechariah, to rebuke them and to encourage them. And I love, we're going to read the scripture, I love what God says through Zechariah to them. He says this, he says, "Let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strong in the midst of persecution. Continue the good work that you've done." I'm going to read in Zechariah chapter 8, verses 3 through 9. It says, "This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth and the mountain of the Lord Almighty, who will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem." In other words, the city will be rebuilt. "Each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people, but will it seem marvelous to me?" In other words, it might be amazing to you that this will actually get done, but this is nothing for me. I'm God. "And this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. You who now hear these words spoken by the prophets, who were there when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord, let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built." I love that because God says to them, you're worn out. You've been through persecution. It's come again and again and again. And right now you're probably thinking, there's no way this is going to get done. There's no way we're going to be successful here. There's no way we're going to achieve our dream of rebuilding this temple. But God says, that might seem out of your mind crazy to you, but I'm God. I already see that temple built. I know who's going to lay the bricks. I know the design. I know the very day where I'm going to fill my presence back in that temple. He says, because I know of your victory ahead of time, just like God sees each and every one of us in glory with him, he says, let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strong. Continue the good work. Even though you've been knocked off your horse, even though you're getting beat up by the enemy, you might got a big fat rock sitting right on top of your head. Let your hands be strong and continue the good work because I see the victory already. I went through a year of my life where I felt like I was getting blasted off the horse every 5 seconds. It seemed like I would just pick myself back up and recover from something and something else would come. And it was just thing after thing after thing, and not just little things like a vehicle, but really big life things. And to be honest with you, it took me to a point where I would wake up in the morning in my pajamas, I would go sit on the couch, and I would talk myself out of atheism and into trusting God for that day because I knew that's what I wanted. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but saying that that's mature faith. We think of a good Christian, if there is such a thing, because we're all sinners saved by grace. We think of a good Christian, and we think of somebody who, at least for me, I think of somebody who's all sunshine and rainbows. You know, who the loudest singer in the room, the person dancing out front, you know, or somebody that always has that smile on their face, which we all go through those seasons, and praise God for those seasons, and praise God for those people, and I hope it rubs off on the rest of us. But what I learned in that season of my life, what God taught me is sometimes the man or woman of real faith is the person who's grieving, is the person who has a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, is the depressed person, is the angry person, the person who might sit in the back of the church and not say a word because it's all they can do to get to church because they're so confused and so doubtful. But you know what? They got here. And that, making that decision, when we don't feel good, when we're not feeling the joy of the Lord, when we've been beaten time and time again, and we feel like we've been beaten time and time again. That is what James says in the midst of trials. That is where maturity is built in the faith. Because it's that time where it's not easy to make the decision to follow Christ. It's in that time where it's not easy to come sit in the pew or to pray or to continue in the Word of God. It's not easy for us to trust in God and say, it doesn't make sense, I don't feel you right now, but let's go. It's in those times, James says, that maturity and completeness of faith grows. So next time where we come back into the wonderful season of it is sunshine and rainbows, but here comes that big rock flying at our head. It's, you know what? I can take it. Because God's got me through this before. And that's a mature faith. A mature faith that isn't going to shrink back, but says the trials can come my way and I will stand and I will trust in the Lord God Almighty. And no matter what comes my way, no matter how many stones get thrown at me, I will get back up and I will walk into that city and stand for God. Acts chapter 8, we see that this was the heart of the first church. Acts chapter 8 says, those who had been scattered ran and hide and hid in their house. No, it says, those who were scattered preached the word of God as they went. Those people who we started off the sermon with talking about, that were this beautiful community of God, and persecution came, and martyrdom came. The NIV Study Bible says that Saul, who later is Paul, as we know in the New Testament, a man full of faith, Saul would lead mobs of people and just walk into somebody's house, a Christian's house, and drag them out and lock them up. It's these people who are going through that, their community scattered, during that time that the word of God spread around their world. It's during that time of persecution, during that time where everything that they really knew as a Christian body dispersed. They did not shrink, they did not hide. It was in that time that they preached the word of God. It was during that time where they went, believers began to encompass all around the Roman world. They had a mature and complete faith that in their trial they were joyful, as James says, and preached the message of hope to those who didn't have it. And we can learn a great lesson from those people, because I can see through their story that they held Christ higher than their tragedy. And that's what a complete faith does. It holds Christ Jesus far high above our tragedy. Sometimes when things happen, you know, it's easy just to be consumed with the sorrow, consumed with what's going on in our life. But even as we're grieving, even as we're having a hard time trying to hold it together, if we hold Christ above our tragedy, we'll be able to continue to trust him and continue to hold on to him to pull us through that and to build our faith. Just like my 2-year-old daughter, when Daddy's frustrated trying to start his Jeep, saying, who cares if the Jeep doesn't work? Jesus' name, amen. In James 1:12, to wrap up here, James says, in chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who comes through the trials, who gets back up and walks in that city, because one day he will receive the crown of life. And the Greek for those words is, I'm sure you've seen in movies and stories and pictures of when a Greek athlete would win an event, they would place like a wreath crown upon his head as a victory. And that's the wording here that James uses. Just like a fierce competition, when we've stood the test and we've come through and we've won the prize, God has a crown of life that he'll sit on our heads. And blessed, he'll say, blessed are you who have persevered through the trials and are in glory with me. Amen. All right.